2,500 years ago when Aesop's fables were collected. One of Aesop's fables from Greece, from classical Greece, was the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah.
You know, that race between the rabbit and the turtle, and the rabbit takes off out of the starting blocks, and the tortoise just kind of moseys along and ends up winning the race when the rabbit stops to take a nap. In the moral of the story, each of those end with a little, you know, a punchline, and it's slow and steady wins the race. And it's not the slow part, you know, because any of us, you know, can mosey along at a snail's pace. It's the steady part. It's just moving forward, moving forward, moving forward, moving forward. And it's not glamorous. It's not flashy, but faithfulness. What we're talking about here is faithfulness. Faithfulness is good. And most often when you look at the heart of any organization, whether it's a hospital, college, a school, or a church, that has really been excellent over an extended period of time, look at its core and you will find a group of devoted people who just kept showing up. Faithfulness, it's a powerful thing.
So hence the book, Dream Big, Think Small, Living an Extraordinary Life One Day at a Time. And in the book, you suggest we maybe consider ant power. Say a little bit more about the premise of the book and ant power.
Yeah, and on the cover of the book, I have these little ants marching across the cover carrying the word small. And it was taken from Proverbs, King Solomon, Proverbs chapter 30, I think it's verse 25. Says, ants have little power, but they store up food during the summer. And it's just this little two-line proverb, this little couplet, where wise King Solomon says, listen, consider the ant. It just goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, carrying seeds into an anthill. And the goal is to set it aside enough food so it doesn't starve, the colony doesn't starve during the winter. But they're small. The contrast there is between the smallness of the ant and yet the momentum that's built up over time, not because of the individual trips, but because of the sum of those trips. And therein lies the power, and there also lies the challenge of bringing ourselves again and again, often to mundane tasks.
Well, I think we understand the mundane task part, but how does that tie in with dreaming big?
You know,
we're just doing our kind of our daily job. We may not be dreaming big like we could be.
Well, by dreaming big, what I'm talking about there is building a healthy family, building a healthy spiritual life, taking the steps within our control to prepare for our future financially, to live a life of outrageous generosity, to care for our soul. That's the thinking big part. The dreaming big part, the thinking small part is just that daily activity you do to get there. So a person that has a big dream of being a spiritual giant, let's say, or just a great spiritual resource and mentor to others. Often what happens there, Neil, is it boils down to sitting with an open Bible for 20 minutes in the morning, day after day after day, reading a chapter of Scripture, taking notes on what you find, opening our heart to God, inviting God into our day, inviting God into our struggles. You know, 15, 20 years down the road, this person is a person that is sought for their wisdom, their discernment, and their advice, and their understanding of Scripture. But you break down what they actually did, and it probably wasn't the result of a three-day retreat or a mountaintop experience, but just this slow and steady discipline over time. And this is so powerful because it means that it's available to all of us. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar. You don't have to be a business mogul. You don't have to be an all-American athlete in order to embrace slow, steady, consistent discipline. It just takes a long time to pull off to actually see the results we want to see.
I was thinking as I was reading the book about legacy. There's a lot of talk about legacy these days. Maybe there always has been, but
yeah.
You know, I don't know if we really always understand and honor what really goes into creating a meaningful, a positive, a significant legacy.
Yeah, and talking about legacy, it's just who do we desire to be remembered as, and what do we desire to be remembered for? And I don't know about you, Neil. There are different ambitions that fly through my heart at different times, and some of those are from God, and some of those are definitely not from God. You know, the desire to be known, the desire to be popular, the desire to make a big splash, or something like that. There are other times, though, when I'm thinking clearly, and it's just I desire to be known as someone who's consistent. I desire to be remembered as someone who loved well and served well. I desire to be remembered for my humility. And so when you begin to look at those, suddenly you're into the quiet virtues, the legacy questions that don't make a lot of noise, don't make a huge splash, and are, again, that result of just bringing ourselves to people and bringing ourselves to the Lord again and again and again over a considerable period of time. I think that's how most legacies are born. And I think, unfortunately, many people who desire to live extraordinary lives start looking for something extraordinary to do. And I think that can be a huge mistake because most often, Neil, individuals who end up living greatly don't live greatly because they found something great to do. They live greatly because they found something good to do. But they just repeated it over and over and over and over and over again. It really is living an extraordinary life, but it's lived one day at a time, not through these brilliant breakthroughs.
Getting some great insights today from Jeff Mannion, pastor at Ada Bible Church in Grand Rapids, been pastoring there for over 30 years, and author of The Land Between and Satisfied. This new book, Dream Big, Think Small, is an encouraging work that will take you. You can read it just a little chapter at a time and make it kind of a 6-week devotional, and it will help you in your day by day journey to live a life of faithfulness. So, Jeff, I'm wondering, have we been maybe guilty of reading the Bible looking for hero stories, maybe missing some important lessons?
I think there's this tendency, Neil, to skip the boring parts of the Bible. And the pictures that covered my Sunday school papers as a child, it was like David and Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den, Elijah calling down fire from heaven. And so often we skip over the parts where nothing much is happening. It seems like the biblical characters simply jump from one miraculous moment to the next, and they don't. I mean, in the David and Goliath story, this huge pivotal moment in young David's life, you know what he's doing before the David and Goliath incident, don't you?
Yeah. He's out in the backside of the mountain someplace taking care of sheep.
Now, his brother, when he shows up to the battle where Goliath is, facing off against the Israelites, his brother said, in whose hands have you left those few sheep? And so here's David, the future King David, and he's obediently, faithfully guarding the family flock of sheep, mundane, normal, non-extraordinary, just very ordinary work. And out of that came this extraordinary moment with Goliath. And I would just, I just encourage readers of the Bible, pay attention to the moments where not a lot of is happening. A lot of times those that paved the way for the extraordinary moments. That is, often God brings the extraordinary moments out of the ordinary moments.
You mentioned Daniel, of course. We, think about the lion's den, but there was that, passage where he talked about he went back to pray just as he had always done.
Yeah, the Daniel the lion's den story, he's an aged man. This is at the end of his life and ministry, and every day he opens the windows of his house facing the city of Jerusalem. Now, he's a captive in Babylon, and he is facing the city of Jerusalem, I believe praying for its restoration because the city had been destroyed. And he does this day after day after day after day. The Daniel and the lion's den story happens as this pinnacle moment of a lifetime of prayerful faithfulness. And we do the Bible injustice, I believe, if we just focus on the climactic Daniel thrown into the lion's den, not eaten by the lions, and we miss those days of ordinary faithfulness.